Yeah, Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you. Just in spite of all the unpleasant things happening in this world, Lord, we always got you, Lord. You're sovereign, Lord, you're majestic, Lord, and you watch us over all your children. So pray, Lord, your sermon today will glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, into Revelation 7:15, we'll be talking about plagues. In Greek, it's called plague. This plague will happen in Revelation chapter 15. Now, BBC has a concise report on the history of plagues. As early as the 6th century BC, the plague during the Emperor Augustinian has killed as many as 50 million people. COVID is nothing compared to the 6th century. And then in the 14th century, the Black Death have killed up to 200 million people. And in 1918, the influenza pandemic killed 50 to 100 million people. Okay. Out of every three people, one person died. And smallpox in the 20th century has killed as many as 300 million people. HIV killed an estimated 32 million people and infected 75 million. What do all these have in common? They are called plagues, P-L-A-G-U-E-S. As we move to Revelation 15, we are reminded of the first 11 chapters that happened on earth. And chapter 12, what happened in heaven, the war in heaven. And from chapter 13, you see the beast appears. But beginning from chapter 15, we'll see the victory of God over everything. But that victory is devastating too to sinners. What does it mean to live for God in the later days and look for Him and look to Him no matter what the circumstances, even now as we do? How can we be faithful and fruitful no matter what happens, plagues or not? And why is God always the leading prayer when you look at plagues or when you look at all the sickness and disease? And He is not the supporting actor in history. Now, what are we to do with all these things that are happening in the world? The first point I want to make is that we have to be the voice of victory. Okay, the voice of victory. Let's go to Revelation chapter 15. We're having some control problems, so I might have to read the past, Revelation chapter 15 verses 1 to 3. Okay, I'm going to go because we don't know what's happening. Okay, if you have a Bible view, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Seven angels, the seven last plagues, last, because of them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps, and they were harps given them by God. Oh, they come up, okay. Now, I don't know if you have do your hatsun, but I did it first time as early as February 4th in this year. It happened when my neighbor sent me a link that says, Marwan tested positive with sewage results. All residents must undergo mandatory testing as early as 8 o'clock in the morning. And the testing is at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I have no time to prepare. So I asked my friend, when are you going? He said, in 2 hours' time. So I said, where is it? Where's the testing? He said, at the beachfront. So I said, can you wait for me? So we lined it up together. And it took us like more than 2.5 hours to get the testing done. The second time, it was just a block. It just took 10 minutes. Have you guys gone through that? No? That's good for you. Who hasn't gone through? Let me see. Who is the lucky people? You guys haven't lined up the block? Oh, that's pretty good. So I know I've been discriminated. Now, Revelation 15 is quite a shock because Revelation chapter 15 is the shortest chapter in the book. Okay, it's just 8 verses, but the sermon won't be short, by the way. Okay, there are more plagues in this chapter than any chapter in the Bible. And with the plague, you know, it's very disastrous because the word seven quantify the plagues each time. Look at verse 1, verse 6, verse 8. There are always seven plagues. Okay, and the word seven occurs more times than any chapter. Now, what is a plague? Okay, a plague, first of all, is transmittable. Okay, it is treacherous, bad for your health, and toxic. Okay, and as I researched, it could be water, it could be from waste, and it could be a lot of things. Okay, it can be wastewater too. And in a serious environment, now it's not that bad. Okay, no medicine or mask. Okay, no vaccine or ventilator can stop it, or no physician or protection can help. Now, the seven angels appear before in chapter 10, but in chapter 15, they will return, but this time they return with seven plagues. What's the word seven? Seven means it's for the fullness of the plagues, for the finality of the plagues, and for the fury the plagues will come. Okay, and up to now the Bible does not say plagues are only on sicknesses. Plagues can come from Revelation chapter 9, include locusts. Locusts are considered plagues, okay? Fire, smoke, and brimstone in chapter 9, they are considered plagues. And even chapter 13, verse 3, bodily wounds can be plagues because it's transmittable, okay? So, I don't know about plagues, can happen anywhere, can be anything. It can be from birds to beasts, bats, okay? Can be pestilence, pets, or from pandemic. And even plagues can be fire or flood, and can be livestock, even to labs. They can concoct plague anywhere. Okay. Now, the Merriam-Webster defined plague. What does the plague constitute? It's not just plague itself. In 15, it will be talking about the wrath of God. Okay. There are plagues that are natural, but there are plagues that are sent from God. And I don't want to be judgmental on which is which, but know the difference, okay? But in chapter 15, it is from the wrath of God. Now, what is wrath of God? We seldom use that word anymore. We usually say anger, right? But in Old Testament word, we call it wrath, W-R-A-T-H. And the dictionary defines it as strong, vengeful anger or indignation, punishment for an offense or a crime, divine chastisement. Why? Because God wants the world to repent. Okay? The wrath of God means His displeasure, okay, His disapproval, okay, and His dismay at sin that is by sinners, okay. And the wrath of God, there's no calming Him, okay. There's no, you cannot compute what is the wrath of God, nor can you cancel the wrath of God. Is that serious? In Revelation chapter 15, it will happen. It will happen one day. Now we can be cool, calm, and collected. But when wrath of God comes, there's no way to hide. What is wrath of God? I define as anger exploded, erupted, and it will be anger that's extended. So we want to avoid the wrath of God. And it's directed at unbelieving, those who are unrepentant, and those who are unsaved. Okay? And here it tells us that it will be filled with the wrath of completed. Completed is the is a New Testament word for timeline. Okay, it's not timeline. And in verse 7, the fullness is on the how more is about how the volume. This one is on the duration. It will be completed. So as believers, the first thing you have to know, you have to be the voice of victory. Okay, God is our victory. You can also overcome it when you belong to God. And the second point I want to make is be the vantage of vision. Do we have it? Oh, can it go up? Huh? It's on my show. I don't know why it's not there. Okay. Is it on? Okay. Let's read verses 3 to 4. 1, 2, 3. And sang the song of Moses, servant God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations shall come and worship for you, for your righteous acts. The funny thing is that when we see all this plagues, the wrath of God, we end up in song. Can you imagine? It's so contradictory, but we end up in song. Now, there's this very famous seminary president. It's called Vernon Grounds. Okay, he told of an incident that happened while he was in seminary as the president. Since the school, in the early days, they had no gym. He and his friends, including students and teachers, they play basketball in a nearby public school. Nobody knows he's a seminary president anyway. And nearby, there's an elderly janitor. He waited patiently until all the seminary students had finished playing their basketball. And the janitor sat there, lowly as he is, reading his Bible. One day, Vernon Ground's friends, the seminary students, asked him what he was reading, because anyway, they are strangers too. And Janet said, "I'm reading the book of Revelation." And the seminary students were surprised if this person who's not studying seminary understand what the book means. "Oh yes," the janitor said, "I understand Revelation." And they asked him, "What does it mean?" Quietly, the janitor answered, "It means that Jesus is going to win." Revelation is about Jesus is going to win. When you see all the plagues, when you see all the wrath of God, and you see all the sinners, you remind yourself that Jesus is going to win. Can you do that in Hong Kong? Yes. Every morning you wake up and say, "Jesus is going to win the battle." No matter what battle you're having, whether it's the world's battles, or your personal battle, or community battle. And that's what happened in verse 3. They started singing a song. Praise team, get your guitars out, okay? Whenever plagues, play the song. Just like David in the Old Testament. When they're mentally unsound, you play the song, okay? And the word sing in Greek is called idol, okay? A-I-D-O. And there are more times of this song appeared in the book of Revelation than all the books in the Bible put together. So Revelation is the book of worship. It's a book of song. When you look at all the disasters happening in the world, remember, it tells us, reminds us to worship God no matter what happens. Now, before this, there are beasts and elders singing. There are 144,000 Jewish singers in Revelation chapter 14 last time I was here. And now, you have the song sang by saints. Who are the saints? We are not the Jewish singers. We are not the beasts. We are not the 24 elders. Now it's time for you and I to sing a song. Now, this song is a beautiful song, and you can try and put a song together next time, Chris. And there are five distinctives to this song. First, let's examine the names of God in this song. Okay, He is the Lamb of God. He's the Lord God Almighty. Okay. He's the Lamb, He's the Lord of God, He's the King of the ages, according to this chapter. How is this different? The Lamb means He's the meek. Lord God Almighty talks about His might. King of the ages talks about His majesty. And you look at verse 3, it talks about the Lamb and His deeds, talks about His works. The Lord God Almighty talks about His ways in life, and His name and His judgments talk about His wisdom in judging. And this also reminds us not to be the judge. Let God, in His wisdom, judge us. Okay? And there are three, four in the Greek. Okay? First, for you alone are holy. The Lamb alone is holy. First four is about who God is. Second, about all nations. All nations will come and worship, which is in the future tense. They will revere the Lord. And the last one, to reveal to the world. Righteous acts have been revealed. This is beautiful. If you look at the first one, there's no tense. The second one is talking about future. The last one is talking about aorist tense, which is the past tense. That God's revelation has already been revealed to the world. The reason? He's the Lamb, He's righteous. He's, if you praise our praise, And last, he will reveal his mighty acts to the world. Now, you look at the second part, they use the personal pronoun, your all the time. So Revelation is about him and not us, okay? We are very afraid, but it's not about us. It's about God and his work, okay? Now, the fourth thing I want to do is talk about the adjectives in the song, okay? There are four adjectives in the song. You like linguistics, you love it, okay? It's first is great, it's distinguished, it's superior. Great means that he's distinguished, he's superior, and he's formidable. The four adjectives are great, marvelous, just, and true. Marvelous means that you're delighted at what he's doing. His splendor over all the world, and the fantastic in what he does. Just, it means that God is decisive in action. You and I are worried, but he knows what's happening. He's single-minded in what he does. And just means that he's faultless. Have you ever seen, nowadays I always wonder what everyone is doing. But God is faultless in his way. And true means that he's dependable. Even your best of friends and your family is not dependable sometimes. Okay, especially in the havoc nowadays. He's steadfast. He doesn't change. He's faithful most of all. He's faithful to you and I. And in the last section, yes. Just now, I talk about adjectives. The last section, we talk about verbs. Just to give you guys a head spin. Okay? There are three words they use, which is to fear, glorify, and worship. What is fear? Fear is you come to behold God in awe. You come to God and you feel amazed. You come before God and you feel astonished at what he's doing. And what's to glorify? To give all attribution to him, all the credit to him, all the names, all the titles, all the description to him, and all the things that are happening to acknowledge him for all that he has done. Not what you can do. Actually, no one can do anything at this time. What is worship? What is to praise him, adore him, admire him for what he does, and always be loyal to him. It's very, very hard. You don't know what betrayal and backstabbing is. You think it is now in Hong Kong. Wait till Revelation time. But in all days, we must be loyal to him. Okay? So, the second point I want to make is you must have vision of God. Okay? You must have the vision of God. First point, you must, when the plagues come, you must have victory. Now you must continue the vision of God. The last point is to be the vanguard of vigilance. We always have to be vigilant, even though God has given us the victory. Let's read verses 5 through 8. 1, 2, 3. After this, I look, and in heaven, the temple, that is the tabernacle of testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen, and wore golden sashes around their chest. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple. Okay, the next few chapters will be talking about the wrath of God. But in this chapter, we talk about the seven golden bowls. It's not just the wrath of God. Okay? The wrath of God is balanced by his glory. And now the last part is talk about the glory of God and his power. What is God's glory? In chapter 15 highlights God's glory. Not only his wrath, but his wrath is to show his glory. That's what. So his glory is most important. Someone said God's glory is so powerful that you can't even see the sun. Like we can't see the stars during the day because of the sun. God's glory is so powerful that it's from behind a veil that creatures can behold his presence at all. God's glory is so powerful that no other light source is needed. God's glory is so vast that no single chapter, no single book, and no grandest canyon could ever contain all that he is. God's glory is so exalted that it extends beyond all limits, even above the highest heaven. God's glory is so immense that we have a lifetime adventure before us as we learn and experience more and more of His glory. God's glory is so grand that no less a stage than a new universe or metaverse, all that is or was and all will be across space and time, is necessary for the unfolding of this all-compassing drama. When plagues happen, when disasters happen, we do not look at this, but we should look at the ultimate, the glory of God. His glory must be revealed. Now, in the verse 8, you see the glory of God. Okay? And the glory of God, how do we describe the glory of God? It's very hard. But Revelation 15, it shows you the temple and shows you smoke. It's an object lesson to let us know more about something that is very hard to imagine. The temple of God, for its cleanliness, can kind of let us see a little bit. And the smoke, we can see it, okay? What does it mean to be filled with? It means that filled with smoke, it means filled with glory of God. It means that everything in your life or in this world one day will be blanketed with the glory of God. It's very hard. You see, the glory of God is something that's so splendorous that now we cannot feel it yet, okay? And the glory of God will fill this world, the Bible says. No corner, no crack, no cranny in the world will be left untouched by God's glory. Not only untouched, every space in the world will be claimed by Him and be inhabited by His glory. That's how big it is, okay? Now, the most important thing when you look at chapter 8 is not the smoke. The smoke is just outside, okay? But it is the substance. The substance in the temple of God is His glory. And the whole world is filled with His glory. Okay, what's God's glory? John Wesley, the Methodist founder, say, the glory of God is His glorious essence, His attributes, which have been of old. And this glory admits of no increase, same yesterday, today, and forever. But the scriptures frequently speak of the God of glory in a different way, meaning it manifests His essential glory and His eternal power and Godhead, and of His glorious attributes, more especially His justice, mercy, and truth. So you see in verse 7 and verse 8, you see not only His glory, but His power. Glory is more, can be more gentle, but His power is stronger. Okay, what's the difference between glory and power? Okay, His glory means His presence, and His power is power. Okay, glory is His attribute, but power is His ability. Glory is in His identity, but power is His influence over the world. Glory is innate. Maybe you cannot see it, but power is the output. Glory is talking about God's essence, then the power is the way He executes it. Okay, and the dictionaries try to tell us what's the difference between power and glory. The power is social effectiveness. Glory is great beauty. Isn't that good? Yes. And as verbs, the difference between power and glory is that power is to provide power for an electronic device or mechanical device. While glory is you look at Him and you will rejoice, exult with joy. Okay. So the glory of God is greater than the power. Because glory is the source. Power is the output. Okay. And here we can see God's glory. One day in Revelation can talk a lot about the wrath of God, can talk about the plague. But most of all, it wants to tell us that behind all this story is the story of the glory of God. So don't ever lose vision. And in the same way, we must be vigilant. Vigilant in the sense that when you're drowned by fear, remember the faithfulness of God. Okay? When you're drowned by your worries, remember to worship. This is what Revelation chapter 15 tells us. Ultimately, that God is in control of this world, not you and I. Emotions tell us to fear, okay? But our experience with God tells us that He is faithful all the time, okay? So let's pray and ask God to continue to calm our hearts. Many times we let the world drown us. We let Hong Kong the place drown us. We let Asia the place drown us. We let all this great power drown us. We let all this testing drown us. But we escape the vision of God. We escape to be vigilant and to be watchful all the time. Oh Lord, we come before you, Lord, because you're majestic, you're magnificent, and you're mighty. Lord, no one can harm us because you're in control. Lord, you see to it that your sheep, your servants, and your sons and daughters, Lord, are in your mighty hand. Lord, help us every day in our life to see you, to be governed by you and to be given to you, because you're the King of glory, you're Lord of glory, and you're the Father of glory of our life. One day, Lord, our jaws will drop, our mouths will open, and our hearts will stop, and we see your glory. But in the meantime, may your glory be in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, pray.